Well, hey, Cross Point, how you guys feeling tonight? Let's make some noise in this place. Man, wow, week four as we wrap up this amazing series leading through 2021. My name is Mark. If we haven't had a chance to meet, Pastor of CSM students as well as community care. And I mean, let's be honest. I mean, at the end of the day, as we've been going through this series, it's shown how super awkward 2020 has been, right? And even 2021, right? I mean, we even started in a weird, weird way. And all of us have been needing, you know, some help. We've been all needing some help in this season. And I mean, it's been awkward for all of us. But if I'm honest, right? If I'm honest, and maybe a little biased, I think our students and kids have had it even worse, right? I think that 2020 was probably the worst time to be a student or a teenager or a young adult, right? I mean, because if we're honest, like, that's like the prime of your life, right? I mean, if you're a teenager, if you're 13, if you're 17, if you're in high school, you're in middle school, I mean, this is supposed to be one of the best times of your life. And then, you know, boom, pandemic hits, right? I mean, if you're in high school, this was supposed to be when you're thinking about prom. You got homecoming dances coming up, right? I mean, you've got your license that you're looking forward to. Some of you were planning to go ahead and get that Corvette, right? I know some of us, we had these big plans for high school. I mean, this is the time we should have been taking out, ladies on dates, right? We get the movie dates going on, and now the movies isn't even open. I mean, there's so many things that just stopped. And I mean, this is an important time. I mean, for all of us, if we're honest, I mean, it's just been hard. And I can't imagine. I might be biased because being a student pastor, I hear all the things that they're going through. And it's been difficult. It's been tough. I mean, and then for them, again, this is a time where, you know, their friends are more important than their parents, right? I mean, but they can't hang out with them. They can't have fun with them. You know, it's been difficult. And so when we think about this, you know, this series has been super cool. It's been super helpful because it's given all of us some tools, right? It's given all of us some tools so that we can begin to navigate and become the leaders that we've been called to be. And so I think it's important for all of us that as we've been going through this series, we've been getting tools and we've been getting things to help us. And yet, when we think about leadership and we think about leading through these uncertain times, when we think about that, one of the things that's difficult, in fact, not even difficult, one of the hidden jewels of leading, of leadership, it's a very sneaky tool that we haven't covered and we haven't talked about. And today, that's what we're going to be dealing with, right? This sneaky little tool that all leadership needs, no matter what kind of leader you are, no matter what type of a leadership role you play, leadership has to have sustainability. Right? I mean, good leadership needs sustainability. You have to be able to sustain it. Right? I mean, a lot of people can get stuff started. A lot of people can get the ball rolling, but it takes a special leader. It takes a good leader in order to sustain it. Listen, the best leadership is sustainable leadership. Right? One, the type of leadership that can actually help you during uncertain times. And I know, I can already hear you thinking, I can already see your wheels spinning, right? And you're thinking, how do we sustain anything when stuff is always changing? I mean, in this season, things are changing every day. I mean, you go look at the numbers and the stats on COVID-19. You go look at the things that we can do, what we can't do, where we can go, what shut down. I mean, all types of things are happening. And here's the thing, nobody prepared us for this. Nobody prepared us for a pandemic combined with economic meltdown while navigating social unrest, right? Even during an election year that was very volatile in a lot of ways, all in the middle of, you know, a chicken sandwich war, right? Who has the best chicken sandwich? I don't know. Maybe it's Popeyes. Maybe it's Chick-fil-A. I don't know. But all of this, and we don't have all the answers. We don't always know what to do. And that's the point of this series, right? What do we do during the uncertain times? And this is also why the world needs you. The world needs you because we need leaders, right? It's why your family needs leaders. It's why your company needs leaders. That's why your community, they need you. We need you. And see, leadership that is sustainable is a constant balancing act of managing the fear and motivating hope. I mean, that's what sustainable leadership is. It's how are we able to balance the two? Right? If you intend to be a sustainable leader, that's what you have to do. See, because fear is real, right? I mean, fear is fast. Think about it. I mean, fast in the sense that reality changes so quick. I mean, in the blink of an eye, reality just shifted on all of us, and fear began to set in on all of us. Fear is not only just fast, fear is emotional, right? I mean, it causes us to reach and respond because we're emotional. We're emotional creatures. But fear has a way of taking control of our emotions. And not only is it emotional, I mean, fear is reactive, right? I mean, because then we begin to struggle to gain clarity. Because we've been reactive all year, right? Because we don't know what's around the corner. So all of us have been in a posture of reacting. But we react because we're in fear. And not only is it reactive, I mean, fear has this way of running our day. It actually takes over our brain. It impacts the amygdala in our brain. And when fear becomes our primary emotion, we stay in an emotional state. And that emotional state, it begins to permeate us, and we become immobilized, right? We can't move. We feel like we're stuck. We feel like we can't push to the left or push to the right. We feel like there's no light at the end of the tunnel. I mean, fear causes us to stay safe and stay in our comfort zone, and we stop reaching, we stop pursuing, we stop pushing. I mean, you know, fear has a way of even putting us in survival mode, right? I mean, to the point where we just become in survival mode. We do what we can to survive. We do the bare minimum, and we stop pushing. I mean, we stop pushing so much so that we relegate our lives to following protocols over productivity. We stop wanting to be productive. All of us have had those mornings when you wake up and you're like, I don't feel like getting on Zoom. I know I can wear my sweats and a nice button-up shirt up top, but I don't feel like it. Right? We're getting up in the morning. We got to go and get on a Zoom to do school and virtual learning. And all of this has just felt bad. But it's because the fear has taken over our emotions. Fear has taken over our minds. And I don't know if you knew this, but in the fall 2020, in the last quarter of the year, there was some research done, and it said that 1 in 4 young adults contemplated taking their life. 1 in 4 young adults and students were contemplating ending their own lives. And that came as a result of the pandemic and the flood of fear that began to take over the mind. It became immobilized, and you felt like you couldn't move. But see, leadership that's sustainable during uncertainty, it manages that fear. I mean, that's your job. That's your job as a parent. That's your job as a leader. That's your job as a boss. I mean, that's your job as a community member to help manage that fear. Because if not, the fear becomes so strong that we feel like we can't move. I like what John Maxwell said, and I don't know if you know who John Maxwell is, but he's like a leadership guru. He's written tons of books on leadership, and one of the things that he says, I like how he puts this. He says, where there is no hope in the future, there is no power in the present. That if we allow fear to rob us of hope in the future, then our present has no power. Then what you're faced with day in and day out, you have no power to pull from because you've lost the hope. And so when you're managing that fear, the question becomes, where do I begin to get hope from? I'm glad you asked, because see hope is what helps us to regain our balance. Hope is what grounds us. Hope is what helps us to find the fuel and the power that we need. See, hope is humble. Hope is humble. I know you're like, hope is humble. Yes, hope is humble. Humble in the sense that when you have hope, you realize that you are not alone. See, when you have hope, you realize that you're not the only one that's going through it. And you can't afford to be selfish in your pursuits, because when you have hope, you realize you have to sacrifice some things in order to be, you know, a good neighbor to other folks. But that's hope. By something as simple as wearing a mask, right, we begin to show that we have some hope in seeing an end to this pandemic and seeing the end and doing our little part in order to prevent the spread. So wearing a mask is actually a sign of hope, because you're showing that I'm humble enough that I realize that I'm not doing this alone and that doing my part impacts others. But hope isn't just humble. Hope is optimistic, right? I mean, it believes in a brighter day. That when we know that there's a brighter day coming, right, that means that we begin to have a different type of hope. We wake up with a different perspective, and we have some optimism that starts to just illuminate from us. And so hope is humble. Hope is optimistic. And you see, hope is also purposeful. It's not just pie in the sky, right? I mean, hope is purposeful. That maybe when you have hope, that you don't have stakes that are low, that you don't lower the expectations that you might have. That we believe that we can pull off some different things even during a pandemic. I think about those of you who are watching online that you wouldn't have been able to watch online had it not been for the pandemic. But see, we continued to push because we had hope that we could actually do something different. We didn't tuck our tails and we didn't say, you know what, we just got to do the bare minimum. No, we pushed forward. In fact, those of you who are in the room tonight, you know that we've done what we needed to do so that we can actually push through during a pandemic so that you can be in person and live and so that you can feel comfortable being in this space. Because hope is purposeful. It's not something that doesn't have intention. In fact, you know, hope is purposeful. And when I mean by purposeful, I mean we started thinking about our kids and our students and how we were able to help parents in this moment. See, because we want to help you become purposeful as well. That's why this series is so cool, because you guys got tools on how to be better leaders, how to be better leaders in your job and in your community and even in your families. And so what we've decided to do here at Crosspoint, we decided to actually launch a brand new podcast for parents during this pandemic. Because here's the thing, right? I mean, all of us, this is new. Virtual learning, hybrid learning. I'm in school 1-3 days a week, and then I'm home for two. And then we got the Wi-Fi issue, right? We don't have enough bandwidth. It becomes slow. And I want a game in the middle of the day, right? It's difficult. And so we decided to actually create a brand new podcast for the parents. Take a look at this. There we go, Meet the Parents. Let's make some noise for that, right? That's pretty cool, right? Meet the Parents podcast. Me and Julie Walters, she's the director of our kids' environments. I oversee CSM and students, and so we're giving you our perspectives, and we'll bring some other folks in to join us in on the conversation, but we want to give you guys some tools that you can learn from our mistakes, and then not only learn from our mistakes, but also learn from some of the wisdom that we've gained over the years to come. And so coming in February, you'll be able to subscribe to the YouTube channel, whether it's kids or CSM, as our YouTube channel will be up as well, but you can subscribe, and that content will be available to you coming soon in February. I can't wait for you guys to check out that content, because again, we're offering this hope, and hope has purpose. And not only is hope purposeful, hope is also empathetic, right? I mean, it's humble, it's optimistic, it's purposeful, but it's empathetic. And what I mean by empathetic, I mean, you have to learn how to show empathy towards your kids, towards your students, toward your coworkers, right? How do you show empathy? How do you put yourself in their shoes? How do you begin to sit with their emotions and help them process where they are? Or how do you stop just trying to create the space whereby, you know, you continue to function in a way that you just talk down and talk at, as opposed to having a conversation? See, you have to be empathetic toward your kids and toward your students and toward your coworkers, toward your community. And when you do that, see, your kids will begin to be empathetic because they see it being modeled in you. That empathy isn't something that you just wake up and you just have. No, you begin to see people who are showing empathy to one another. And that's our job as leaders, to begin to show that empathy. And see, your students, your kids, your team at work, your staff, your employees, your coworkers, your managers, whoever they are, they're looking to you for that hope. And not like the lazy hope, not like this hope that's like pie in the sky, right? I mean, I'm talking about a hope that actually has something in it, right? I mean, we cannot have like high expectations without high belief, right? You can't have a whole bunch of expectations and just like, oh yeah, we have hope in this and we have high hopes. Excuse my singing, right? But like all of that, we can't just have high hopes, right? With low belief. No, we gotta have high hope. High expectation and high belief. In fact, take a look at this, right? I mean, just take a look at this grid, right? So here we have expectation on one axis and we have belief on the other, right? And so just imagine for a second that if you have high expectations and low belief, man, that's stressful. That's what that is, right? I mean, somebody who has all these expectations of you, but they don't really believe you can pull it off. They don't really believe, you don't really speak to your kids as if they can pull it off. You don't believe in them and they can feel it. But you have all these demands, you have all these expectations. Right? That's a lot of expectation, but that means you have low belief and you don't speak to them as if you have belief that they can actually pull it off. But then maybe you have high belief and low expectation, right? Well, that's pie in the sky, right? That's what that is. I mean, it's like, we believe that you can conquer the world. We believe you can be the next president of the United States, but we don't really have any expectations of that. We just believe, right? It's just there. There's no standard. But then, you know, maybe if it's not that, maybe you have low expectation and low belief, and I mean, that's just miserable, right? I mean, that's purposeless, right? I mean, you have low expectations, you have low belief, and because of that, I mean, that's miserable. If I'm a kid, if I'm a student, I don't want to come back home. I don't want to be in your house. I'm ready to move out as soon as I can because I can feel that, and that impacts me. But see, when we have high expectation and high belief, man, that's we begin to see realistic hope. See, a realistic hope has the high expectation, but you begin to craft and speak the words that let them know that they actually believe that you can achieve those expectations. That in a pandemic, leadership shouldn't be lowering the stakes. No, let's keep those expectations high, but let's also speak a realistic hope so that they know that you actually believe that they can achieve it. And there was some really cool stuff, right? I mean, because here's the thing. Hope is when high expectation collide with high belief. And when I think about that, when you see a high expectation colliding with high belief, right, what happens is that the results are amazing. I mean, it's almost magical. Right, when you put these two things together, and what I've learned over my tenure as a student pastor, as a college professor, right, just as a youth leader in general, that when you begin to combine those two things, oh, the results are magical, right? Students and kids and people that are in your organization, they begin to move differently. In fact, there was this really cool story about these. They did dozens of studies with dozens of students, rather, and they gave them a written assignment, right? So they had this written assignment. And what they decided to do was to give them the feedback on post-it notes. And they did the experiment by putting different types of words of affirmation or feedback to those written assignments. And they gave them back, and they wanted to see which of the phrases would actually yield the best results. Which phrase was the best type of feedback to give to actually see the kids excel after they got feedback from the assignment? And the one phrase that they saw over and over and over again have magical results was the phrase that simply said, "I'm giving you this feedback because I have high expectations and I know you can reach them. I'm giving you this feedback because I have high expectations and I know you can reach them." And the students that actually got that feedback, the results were magical. I mean, these are scientists, right? So they don't use words like magical, right? I mean, that's a little extreme, but they were saying it was amazing. right? And I think sometimes we forget about the magic of our posture toward our students and toward our organizations and even toward our communities. That when we operate a hope where we have high expectation and high belief, I mean, it's simply amazing. See, here's the thing. Expectations are the abstract, and belief is the fuel. Expectations is the abstract, and belief is the fuel to helping those expectations be met. And speaking of fuel, I'm reminded, I was having a conversation with my cousin. My cousin, he travels a lot for work, and he had just did a trip to New York City. He goes there often, and when he was there, he was like, man, when I got off the subway and I came up, I noticed that, you know, the air wasn't filled with all of the smoke that it usually does. Like, it's like it's almost a smog over the city, but it's like that now because there are not a lot of people driving around in New York City since the pandemic. He was like, man, I mean, the air quality was just amazing, and I never thought I would go to New York City and see the air quality. He said, but one thing was still the same. There was still a bunch of taxi cabs everywhere. And so some things, he said, some things just never change. And he said, but you know, I was able to get a taxi cab and I was able to get to the destination because I was going to a new place for business and for this meeting. And I thought about it. He was like, you know, I'm familiar with New York City, but I'm glad that the cab was there because the taxi cab was able to get me to where I need to go. And I know if you know anything about New York City, I mean, the taxi cab is almost a staple of New York City, right? I mean, have you ever seen a movie with New York City in it and you didn't see the taxi cab, right? It's almost like that can't be New York City without a taxi cab. And so I started thinking about this whole idea about the taxi cab, and I thought it was so amazing because, see, here's the thing. No matter which city you go to, if you find a good taxi cab driver, you can always get to where you're trying to go. That regardless of what city you're in, if you're in unfamiliar territory, you're in an unfamiliar city, you're in uncertain terrain, if you could get a good taxi cab driver, guess what? You can find your way to whatever your destination is. And I started thinking about that, and I was thinking, man, all of us feel like we just walked into a city that is so uncertain and so unfamiliar. And what I wanted to share with you guys is that it's time for you to jump into the taxi cab. It's time for all of us to get in the cab. And by cab, I mean, like, we need to get into a cab because the cab is what's going to help us to get to the destination as we begin to lead, as we begin to parent, right? We got to get into the cab, and the cab, you got to get into it with your family, too. You got to get into it with your students as well. But see, the cab is interesting because the cab driver, he has context. He knows the terrain. He lives there, right? That's what he does for a living. He drives around. He understands all of the nuances. And so, see, sometimes when we're going through uncertainty and we have uncertain times, we don't have context. But see, you need context. See, because context helps us to be able to see what we need to see even when we can't see it. Right? And so here's what happened. In fact, there's actually a good verse. There's a good verse in the Bible written by a guy named King Solomon. And King Solomon, he's actually one of the major kings in the Old Testament. He's actually the son of David, King David. And so Solomon, he not only inherited the kingdom of David, but he took it and he blew it up. I mean, he took it and it went to a whole nother level. He expanded the kingdom. And what he decided to do, he had a bunch of sons, he had a bunch of kids, but he wanted to write some proverbs for his sons so that, you know, they could actually make it, because he knew what it was like to actually lead a kingdom, and so he wanted to leave them some instructions, some words of wisdom to live by, right? He was actually writing to the next generation because he understood that leadership that was sustainable, it was going to take for us to actually pour into the next generation. And so the book of Proverbs in the Bible, like, that's what it's all about. It's actually, he's writing to the next generation so that he could sustain it. He said, listen, because they're going to inherit wealth, they're going to be entitled, right? They're going to be in a community that they're going to be safe. They're going to be safeguarded. He said, but listen, they're still going to need some wisdom. They're still going to need some insight. So I got to set the high expectation and the high belief. So he writes these words. And when he writes these words, he's saying, look, he said, I know that you're going to be leading. You're going to be kings. You're going to have territories. He said, but look, famine can hit at any time. Disease can hit at any time. A drought can come at any time. A war could break out at any time, and so you need to know these words. And here's what he says in Proverbs 29:18. He says, listen, where there is no vision, the people perish. And what that verse is saying, it says that you have to have the right perspective about what you're seeing. You got to have a vision, because if not, if you don't have somebody who understands the terrain, if you don't have the proper lens on, people will perish. That what you'll have, you know, you won't be able to see properly. And see, this is so critical because people need to have the right perspective. And I know for many of us, we're like, how are we supposed to have the right perspective of something that's never happened before? We got this pandemic, we're wearing masks, you know, all this. I mean, it's just crazy. I mean, this is just different. This is different, Mark. And I'm like, yeah, but see, you don't have the right context. You don't have the right vision. And sometimes we need to be reminded that the right vision will help us to get through it together. In fact, it's a really cool story to help us be reminded and to give us context about where we sit today. Take a look at this.
I was born during a quarantine. I don't remember it, of course, but for my mother, it was a very difficult time. She told me it was just you and me for many months. But she wasn't alone. Everybody tried to do what they could to help. But she was also a very strong person. And then it was over. We came out into a new world, my mother and me. We can get through this. We all have the strength to do it. I'm 100 years old, and you just take care of that little miracle.
Wow. Almost 100 years ago, to the exact year, they were going through the same thing, the same predicament. And guess what? They got through it. That's context. I know it feels hard. I know it's difficult. I know it's challenging. But if they got through it before, guess what? We'll get through it again. That's the proper context. And we begin to have hope when we have the right context. And, you know, here's the thing. In order for us to have the right context, it's great to have it, but then we have to have the right application. Right? I mean, because here's the thing. I mean, like, having context is one thing, but then being able to apply it. See, people need clear ways to apply what you've just given them in terms of context. And clear application of not what you could do next week, not what you could do next month, not what you could do next semester, not what you could do next year. But they need to know, what can you do today? I don't know what's happening next week. I don't know what's happening in the future. But I know that today, we're going to make it. Today, we can sit together as a family and we can talk through it. We can work through it. And that's what application is. Because here's the thing. What we lack in certainty, we can make up in clarity. See, because when we have clarity, we can begin to have hope. We don't have to be certain about what's coming in the future, but we do need clarity for today. So not just applying it, but then finally we need belief. You hop in the cab to get the context and get the application, but then you're riding around with a different set of belief, a different perspective of belief. See, human beings have a very difficult time with belief. But here's what we realize. That when you have somebody else telling you that you can get through this, that we can get through this, we began to have a different belief. I like to call it the flight attendant effect. The flight attendant effect is really cool. Just imagine for a second that you're on an aircraft. And while you're on this aircraft, you're cruising at a nice altitude and, you know, peanuts have been served and drinks have been given out. Your favorite airplane movie is on. And all of a sudden, you feel a little turbulence. And for most of us, if you're a frequent flyer, that turbulence, that doesn't do anything to you. You're like, oh, okay. You keep on eating your peanuts. You keep on watching your movie. And for some of us, we keep on snoozing on that good airplane nap. But then the turbulence intensifies and things begin to move and things begin to shake and you feel your stomach dropping. Initially, you usually don't turn and look at the person who you're flying with. But almost instantly, I watch this in action. We look at the flight attendant. And see, we look at the flight attendant because we know that if the flight attendant doesn't seem worried by the turbulence, then it's okay. But the moment you see the flight attendant move to the front and she fastens her seatbelt and she begins to grab maybe for her oxygen mask, that's when you begin to panic. But see, God has called each of us to be the flight attendant in our home. And by that, I want you to know that your kids, your students, your organization, your employees, they're looking at you to be the flight attendant because in turbulent times, in uncertain times, they want to see if you're going to be calm. They want to see how you're responding to the turbulence. And see, based on how you respond, how you react to those, to that turbulence, gives them an indication on how they feel, how they deal with the turbulence as well. See, we can't control things that are externally happening to us. But what we can control is who's connected, who knows us internally, and who do we trust internally. That's where parents come in at. That's where mom and dad come in at. See, we have an internal connection with them, and when we see them calm, we know that we can be calm as well. So as we wrap this up, I wanna pray for us. So I'm gonna ask you to stand. I'm gonna ask you to stand right where you are. And I wanna pray for you because what I realize is that we gotta get in the cab. We all gotta get in the cab. We gotta get in the cab because these are uncertain times and we don't know the terrain, but guess what? When we have context and we have an application and we have high belief, we could be better flight attendants. We could be better leaders. We can see sustainable leadership. I want to pray, God, we thank you for just this opportunity to be reminded that God, you've called us to be sustainable leaders. And God, we can't always control what's happening around us and outside of us, but you've given us the glorious work of your spirit and your fortitude to help us to remain calm and to have peace in the middle of the storm. So God, today, help us push out the fear and lean in to your amazing faith and to the hope that you're still in control. God, we thank you for giving us peace in the middle of the storm and helping us to know that we can get through this together. It's in your name we pray. Amen.